This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
We have arrived at the All-Star break. Excited? You seem so excited.
Well,
could you be any more excited?
If the Cavs are 44-10, no. But the All-Star break, a weekend, whatever they're calling, whatever it is they're doing in San Francisco. I really have no interest other than hoping that none of the Cavaliers participating get hurt and they win their respective events.
It doesn't increase your watchability a little bit more?
The odds of me watching anything on Sunday are probably next to none. I'll probably watch Saturday night just to see, you know, can Darius win the three-point shootout, right? That's like the one event I enjoy. Because they're just running around chucking threes off racks, right? But the rest of it, the Cavs hold better dunk contests at halftime than the NBA dunk contest.
Yeah, I don't know. I think everybody has that opinion about the NBA All-Star break, which, and I agree to some degree, of like, it's not what it meant to me when I was 11. I think some of that's like our age.
Well, you know who they're blaming now for ruining the dunk contest, right?
LeBron?
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't participate,
right?
20 years ago?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think we've seen traditional dunks, and now everybody knows, well, okay, you can't do a windmill. You can't do almost any NBA athlete now can do from the free throw line.
Right.
So I think the problem is now it's like, all right, there's going to be a little person at midcourt. You're going to jump over him, jump off this, bounce off this, and then have a Hyundai drive you up to the goal, and then you're going to dunk off it. Like, there's like 7 steps to it, and none of it's like an actual dunk you would see in the game.
Right. Like, the type of dunks that I'd want to see, like them going off mini trampolines and stuff like that, I don't want to see any of the stars because I'm afraid they're going to kill themselves attempting this, but I don't know, bring in like the Harlem Globetrotters or something like that to do dunk-offs. I just think that the dunk contest now is kind of
Oh, no, they've definitely gimmicked it to a point where it's even the game.
But, and you get one shot to do it. Like, I don't want to sit there for 5 minutes watching you trying to bounce the basketball high in the air, do a 360 to catch it, and then contort yourself to dunk it, and you blow the dunk, and so you spend 5 minutes trying to do that thing. Then you realize, oh, I only have 60 seconds left to actually complete the dunk, so then you like come up with something basic and lame after that. Like, it's not appealing.
All right, now that we're talking here, now I can fix it. Give me the CBA version of the dunk contest. Only people, the only people that are allowed to dunk are 6'1 and under. Think about it. Because everybody that's 6'10" and has jumps out of the building, I've seen that.
Right.
Give me the Short Kings. Give me the Short Kings dunk competition, and I'll be all the way in. Find me and NBA players. I don't even know. Like,
how did I know that this conversation was going to go back to the vertically challenged?
Well, no. I was thinking initially, give me the big man dunk competition, but Joel Embiid would blow out both Achilles doing that, and so would Kristaps Porzingis and just about every other. Anthony Davis wouldn't even make it into the building. He'd break his face walking into the building. So we can't do it with the bigs because they're fragile. So give me the short kings. All right, give me Nate Robinson with a new kidney out there. Okay, he doesn't play anymore, but you know what I'm saying. But no, I mean, I actually think this is more interesting from my standpoint because the Cavs are so well represented.
Yeah.
Like, the All-Star break is always what it's going to be, which is I will not sit down and intently watch anything other than three-point competition. But it is on in the background.
So it makes for good background
noise.
It
is somewhere, it's, you know, it, like all All-Star games now are just background noise. So knowing, Donovan checked in. Okay, maybe I'm more likely to watch that 2 minute of whatever stupid mini tournament they're trying now.
First 40 or something? Or
I honestly, I'll find out on Sunday. Because I started reading the rules today because I was like, gotta refresh on these.
It's
like,
a manual.
We're going to have Mac Q, Careless Whisperer, just to start. No, that's not what I'm saying, Mac.
No, because I can't explain it. That's the problem now. Yeah. This is something I now cannot explain.
And that music takes you to a place, and it's a little early in the show for Uncle Daryl to go all the way downtown. But, to give the NBA credit, or maybe it's to give the Cavs credit, the Cavs have made this All-Star break 15% more interesting to me. And I think it does help having Darius in the three-point versus Donovan last year.
Yeah.
Because Donovan's a great scorer, and he's a good shooter. But, like, Darius is probably your purest shooter. Probably your purest shooter off the top of my head.
Yeah.
I think DeAndre Hunter's damn close. It's beautiful watching that dude shoot. But, yeah, I think Darius helps, too.
Yeah, I just... For me, and it used to be appointment television for me,
mm-hmm.
All-Star weekend.
How much of that, though, is just we were younger?
Yeah, I never watched really the Pro Bowl. The only time I watched when they actually played a Pro Bowl game is when the Browns actually had a Pro Bowler, which was, like, rare. So just to see what they did in the game,
mm-hmm.
but no interest in the Pro Bowl. And then, but like the NBA All-Star, I used to be like, I couldn't wait for it.
Mm-hmm.
But that was back in the late, you know, mid to late 90s and early 2000s.
So
when the games were fun. And I just don't think that All-Star games today, maybe outside Major League Baseball, because, mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of hard not to try in baseball. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, the pitcher can groove one or throw a meatball up there. But, like, it's really hard to, like, quote-unquote, tone it down. Like, you saw them doing the Pro Bowl, which has led to the catastrophe that they put out with the Pro Bowl games or whatever it's called now, where they're resorting to dodgeball and flag football at this point and tug of war. And then, like, NBA All-Star, I used to really get hyped for that, and now I'm just like, yeah, meh. I may or may not see something Sunday.
I think I've landed on something, though, with this. I keep putting it in a specific way. I'll put it more directly. I think it's a generational thing. Like, when I talk to younger NBA fans, whether they're, you know, family members still in high school or, you know, college kids or freshly out of college, they're not as jaded about the All-Star game as we are.
Really?
Yeah, the reason being is they don't remember it being competitive.
Okay.
So it's more of a fun, hey, I'm a fan of these four players. Because again, I think the younger generations skew way towards individual fandom instead of team fandom, at least in the NBA.
Okay.
So I think there's a time and place to like All-Star games. And I think it's probably when you first fall in love with sports up until you get out of college. And then I think the longer you follow a sport, the more you realize how completely meaningless the game is. But I don't think younger fans care as much about you and me is what an absolute farce the NBA All-Star game is. I think that is an old head screaming at the cloud kind of thing. Or so, relatively young head, such as myself. Still very much in his prime head.
I'm the old man yelling at the cloud, I guess, then, in the room. But I just, when All-Star games became a thing, and I'm going back to, like, the Babe Ruth era.
The aughts.
Yeah. When they did, you know, they did the barnstorming tours and stuff like that. Because the only way you were going to see those ball players is if you went to a major city and bought a major league ticket. And that was, like, your one chance to see those guys. And so they would, like, do these all-star barnstorming things, and eventually it turned into, you know, all-star. Like, today, if you're a LeBron James fan, you can turn on your TV and see LeBron James at any given point. You can pick up your phone and see LeBron James play basketball at any given time. I just think that society has changed, culture has changed, technology has changed. Therefore, the need for all-star games, the need to bring players from different teams together and things like that, I just don't think it means as much anymore. But, I don't think it matters anymore.
So again, I think some of this is to our age. Here's the other thing, though. I think we focus a lot on how hard these players play, and that is a factor. I mean, I think it was Chris Haynes reported that the NBA and the NBA Players Association got together with their players to talk about the importance of
playing defense,
of playing hard. And it's like, you can say whatever you want, they're not going to listen.
Right.
But I don't think it's just that.
Yeah,
I think
they did. They were doing that for like the last, I don't know, last 10 All-Star games, these conversations were being had.
Well, yeah, no, but I think my greater point is, I think we all know that these guys are going to go vacation together this summer. And so I feel like rivalries in general, like, what's the rivalry right now? And when it is a rivalry, it's like Cade Cunningham and... oh, my gosh, there's some other player.
Jalen Green.
Yeah, Jalen Green.
Somebody, Tristan Thompson versus somebody from the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, versus all of Toronto potential. Like, there's just not...
There's no Drake v. Kendrick Lamar beef.
There's no MJ freezing out Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
Right? There's no... I know MJ... Or I know Magic and Bird are friends now. They bleep and hated each other.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, in that way, it's kind of like professional wrestling.
And everybody hated the Bad Boy Pistons.
But in that way, it's like professional wrestling, in which some of that was built up for drama. But it's so easy to expose that stuff now, because of the amount of exposure.
Right.
So we don't even have like that little bit of like, well, maybe they just wanted to beat each other. Maybe they didn't hate each other, but it was played up because we didn't have that kind of access. Like the kind of glass shield coming down between players and fans has led us to understand not only do these guys not hate each other, they're going to be in Cabo together whenever they get bounced out of the playoffs or if they don't make the playoffs. Right. I think that kind of shatters the illusion of an all-star game for people our age as much as anything.
It's actually news if guys aren't bro hugging before and after games, yeah, right?
Hey, can I get that jersey? Can you not? Can you just keep punch him in the face and make me feel like I'm alive? 216-474-0092. But I will say, I think having Darius and Donovan and Evan represented, having Cavaliers over NBA All-Star Weekend has me more interested than I normally am. Does the amount the Cavs are in this NBA All-Star Weekend, is that going to impact how you watch the All-Star Weekend? And they said it about the Cavs without saying it about the Cavs. That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I don't know if you saw this. Big to-do for the Cleveland Cavaliers. You see the Ringer's Top 100?
I did not.
All right, so the Cavs have top five guys in the Top 100.
That, I'm guessing, is a very good thing for them.
Yeah, I think there's only one team that has more guys in the top. I think it's OKC. But they have, like, Lu Dort at 97. That's not even the one I objected to the most. There was somebody else on their roster.
Caruso.
Yeah, Alex Caruso was, like, 73. And I'm like, guys, he's a nice role player. But, like, what are we doing here?
Is this done like the NFL where it's voted on by the players, so it's basically like a popularity contest?
So it is a popularity contest, but it's the people that work on the Ringer,
okay,
that cover basketball that do it. So like when I see Alex Caruso, I think Bill Simmons got drunk one night and was just like, Caruso's just so underrated.
It was Caruso and Isaiah Hartenstein was 63.
Yeah. Now, okay, in fairness, Jared Allen is 49th, and Jared Allen is a rim-running big, which is exactly what they called him. But I thought that was a nice indication of some of the respect that I think the Cavs actually are starting to get. Donovan was 12th. Donovan was 12th. Evan was 22nd. Darius was 33rd. And Jared was 49th. And DeAndre Hunter, who they just acquired, was 91st. I think the most interesting thing, though, is of all the three best players on any given team in the NBA, the Cavs have the highest rated of the big three. They have three players in the top 33.
Evan being that high is impressive.
Yeah.
Because when you talk to anyone about him, they always say barely scratched the surface.
Yep.
Right? Still coming along. And the fact that he's getting that level of respect. I mean, he's having a career year. No question about it. Great to see him. He's an all-star. But Donovan Mitchell said this a couple of weeks ago, Nick, after a game. And I think it was right after it came out that Evan was an all-star.
Mm-hmm.
And Donovan said, by the way, this is the worst Evan Mobley's ever going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that just like struck me, because I've always been in the Evan Mobley camp ever since they drafted him. I felt like he could be the Cavaliers Tim Duncan type guy, right? The centerpiece of the franchise. And that's no disrespect to Donovan, but I always felt that Evan was the key. And I still feel like he is the key. But you're seeing his game get unlocked by Kenny Atkinson. So the fact that he has received that type of acknowledgement, being in, what'd you say, 22?
22, yeah.
Yeah, to be in the top, be considered in the top 25 already, and he's only made one All-Star game in his career, and that's obviously this year. I think that really speaks volumes for what folks think about his potential ceiling.
Like, for instance, he's ahead of Bam Adebayo, which I think is the rightful place. Bam,
right.
Even right now, is maybe not having the best season of his career, but maybe hasn't won at the level that people thought he would have maybe 5 years ago. Tyrese Halliburton he's in front of Kyrie. Now, one thing in reading this list that is patently clear is that they just don't respect undersized guards.
Okay.
Like Kyrie's 24th, Dame Lillard's 27th, Trae Young's 29th, Tyrese Maxey is 30, Darius is 33rd. And so, like, there is a preference towards bigs and obviously big wings, which I understand. I think this list leans in a little bit. I also think, like, Tyrese Maxey's a really nice player. He hasn't won at the level Darius has. Like, I think if I have a gripe about this, my gripe is Darius is 33rd.
Right. I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, Darius at 33 seems a little low considering they have Evan at 22.
Yeah.
Right, you know what I mean? Like, because Darius's resume, when you put Evan's resume next to Darius's, Garland's is better. He's got a better resume.
I don't know how to say this without upsetting people that I might have used to work with in Charlotte. LaMelo Ball is not a better basketball player than Darius Garland.
No, he's not.
He's a flashier player. He scores more points per game, but that's what happens when the next best player on your team is another young kid with a lot of upside, but isn't – like, who's the guy he's sharing the ball with?
Like, somebody's got to stuff the box score, even on the bad teams.
Yeah, and then the Hornets are awful. Halliburton's the best player in Indiana. I understand that I have to see that. And by the way, Halliburton's not a small guard. I think he's like 6'4 or 6'5. But like, you can't tell me this version of Dame Lillard is better than Darius Garland. They might be the same, they might be on the same plane of existence, but you can't tell me he's definitively four or five slots better. Tyrese Maxey has scored some points on bad Philly teams. So I do think, like, on one hand, I look at this and I go, big picture, all right, you've got three players in the top 33 and nobody else does. That is one way of looking at this and saying, even though they're not directly saying the Cavs have the best big three in the NBA,
they're ranking them
that way. Yeah, yeah, they're absolutely saying it in one way. But in the other way, it's like, I think Darius should have cracked the top 30. Like, and now granted, I don't think he should be over Kyrie. I think Kyrie is 24th. I think Kyrie... I think Kyrie's being held back for things other than Kyrie's basketball ability. I think he's still tremendous, as much of a goof as sometimes he feels to be. But I think this, we, Jonathan and I have talked a lot, kind of going forward, about the credit and where credit is due. And for some reason, there's just still a reticence to give Darius the credit. And I think it is because Donovan's here, and it's a little mystifying to me.
And the Cavaliers need to make a deep run in the playoffs this year.
Yeah,
they need to get to the conference finals, NBA finals, get on that big stage, right? Because there's two narratives out there when it comes to the Cavaliers. They're still soft, and again, I'm not saying that they're right, but the quote toughness thing, mm-hmm, I think is still there, and we're going to find out come playoff time. And then the lack of deep postseason success for this particular group, right? It's great. You're doing it in the regular season. Right now, you're 44-10. That is, I mean, you know, there have been countless seasons where the Cavs haven't won 44 games, right?
Yeah.
And they've got it at the All-Star break. But, like, they've got to show, and that's why we're hearing it, and they know it, because we hear it from Darius talks about it, Donovan talks about it, Evan talks about it, Jared talks about it, everyone in that locker room talks about that we're just trying to get better. Yes, we're trying to win games, but we are focused on situations and improving, and you know, this is fine now, but the playoffs are, that's where our focus is, and that's what we're trying to prepare for. Like, they all know the stigma, I guess that's a fair way to put it, the stigma that this Cavaliers group has on it, and that is they can't go deep in the playoffs, and they're not a tough basketball team. And I feel like they're on a mission this year to break both of those.
But you know what's funny about that is that hasn't held back Evan, right?
Right.
And granted, Evan, I thought Evan was a better player in the playoffs last year. But perceptionally, people nationally came out thinking Evan disappeared in the playoffs, which I don't think was 100% true. Darius did, but Darius disappeared most of last year.
He had a really tough year.
Yeah.
Physically, mentally, emotionally,
but to point to it, like, Darius went from 41 in these rankings to 33. Evan went, I think, from like 35 to 22. So it's just another one of those things where it's like, I just think we're in an interesting spot with how people perceive the Cavaliers. I think everybody knows how important Donovan is to them. I think everybody knows how important Evan is. I think everybody's sleeping on Darius. If we use this. This is kind of a lens in which
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
People kind of talk about, you know, player and the player importance for their team. Some of it, and listen, some of it I think is, well, Donovan's here, and you can only give so much love to two undersized guards.
Right.
Some of it is just, I don't know, I almost feel like we have to have like a class action lawsuit for undersized guards to get the kind of love that they deserve.
Put them in the dunk contest.
No. Because that's all I need is Darius somehow will jump high enough and somehow he'll smack his face and break an orbital bone. Like, that we don't need. But so, in terms of that, Donovan, 12. Evan, 22. Darius, 33. There's nobody in the NBA that benefits more from a championship. Or maybe there's nobody on the Cavs that benefit more than Evan, right? Like, if Donovan wins, I don't think he's cracking the top five.
Even if like hypothetically Cavs win the NBA championship this year, you don't think that Donovan could crack the top five?
No, I think
Evan could, though.
I think the highest Darius is going to get with a championship might be 20, right, next year.
Right.
I think the highest Donovan's going to get with the way these lists kind of have their little pejorative stances on positional importance, I think maybe the highest he can get is 8. I think Evan could go from 22, even if he's not your best player. I think Evan could go and be the 10th best player in basketball, even if Donovan's more responsible for a title.
But see, I think his ceiling is even higher. I think he can become, I don't know if Tim Duncan's like the right correlation. This one thing I've like struggled with is, because I've asked people, I'm like, you know, who would you compare Evan Mobley to, or what do you think his ceiling is that would be comparable to, and you hear a wide range, but I mean
it's Duncan, it's Bosch,
right?
It's about as wide ranging as you could possibly have,
right? And it speaks to his talent, right, that you can't just like pin down one guy and say he's the next Duncan, right? But for me,
also that speaks to the way the game has changed and how
true, because like, it's chuck a three or dunk it.
It would have been easier for Evan to become who I think he was supposed to be 20 years ago, where it's you're going to play within 15 feet of the basket, as opposed to right now,
where they're actively encouraging him to work on his 3-point shot.
Well, and where they're having him bring the ball up, where they've got him at the elbow, where they've got the offense running through him.
Hey, and last year, none of that stuff happened.
Yeah, which it's almost like coaching matters, but I digress. it's almost like the guy that said, hey, JB should be getting this going. It feels like that guy was right. I don't know where he is. Maybe if I get a mirror here, I can tell you. But I do think, like, it's going to be really interesting to watch Evan's value around the NBA, because I think everybody looks at the length and says, that's his value. Yeah. Everybody looks at the rim running and the defensive value and say, that's his value. And you still haven't come close to saying what his real value is. And I kind of feel the same way about Darius in a much different way. Oh, well, he's a nice facilitator. He's one of the best pure three-point shooters in the NBA.
Yeah.
And if you didn't have another ball-dominant presence here, I think he'd show he's a damn good finisher. He's actually better. And honestly, I think he's been more authoritative at the rim this year, which is good, because I was worried he was going to take all those shots to the face and run away from the basket, but he's a much better scorer in general than I think people have given him credit for.
He's got his confidence back. He, you know, all the difficult things from injuries to personal life and just all the stuff that he went through last year, I think he's been able to put behind him. The fact that Donovan signed his extension, right? Because there were all the questions, could Donovan and Darius work together? I think that and the fact that Kenny came in and basically laid out to all the guys how he envisioned things working, got everyone on board, and I think that that really has allowed Darius to return to being Darius, and that, you know, that's just so critical because they need him. I would argue Darius and Evan might be more important to a Cavalier championship run than Donovan Mitchell.
216-474-0092 at Nick Wilson says, at Right or Wrong FAN, the Cavs have three players on the Ringer's top 100 inside the top 33 there. Donovan at 12, Evan at 22, Darius at 33. Do the Cavs have the best big three in the NBA? And it is entirely possible to do too much, and I can prove it in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Maybe there's the Zapruder film of this out there. Was it a fan chucking it at its head?
I don't know, but I really want to see the video now.
Because you got to hope it's not a player. Like, if it was, like, the 52nd guy on the roster.
What if it was, like, the practice squad guy who got cut in week 18?
The backup kicker. And he'll just never work in the NFL again. But, so apparently they had to cut from Landon Dickerson's speech like twice because he cursed multiple times. We'll have the audio of that later in the show.
They're doing this for just about everyone that's speaking, though. Like, the F-bombs are flying.
I don't know if you remember. I'm sure you do. I'm not sure if anybody else remembers, though, how long it felt like they were on the dais, where it just felt like, all right, and now this guy's going to speak. And now this guy's going to speak. And I remember by the time, I can't remember, did LeBron speak first?
No, he was a little later.
He was closer to the end, right?
Yeah, but they were like, here's Matthew Dellavedova.
Yes.
And now here's J.R. Smith taking off his shirt again. And then, you know, yeah.
And then, like,
Richard Jefferson, who, well, he was the locker room glue guy, and that was about it. But here's Richard Jefferson.
And NBA teams have 15 guys on it.
Here's Channing Frye. Come on down.
Like, football, I mean, no offense to Landon Dickerson, I don't need to hear from you.
Right.
I need to hear from Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown, Nick Sirianni, and Howie Roseman.
I just wish Jason Kelce did not retire and that he could have been on this team.
Because
he was the star of the last parade. And I wanted to see the follow-up performance. Could you top what you did the first time?
See, I'm glad. Okay, so I'm glad he is retired because that would be too much.
Like, no!
This is the case of doing too much. Is you went there dressed, and I don't remember what the actual
the character, but yeah.
Yeah, the character from, isn't it Mardi Gras? And it's a no for me.
I was tempted to buy the bobblehead. I'm not going to lie.
I'm actually pretty proud of Jason Kelce. From everything I've seen, I think he's got like an Eagles jacket on. Just very normally, had a beer in his hand, was there to celebrate his friends instead of like this year. All right. And I'm not trying to like play brother on brother here, but like when Travis Kelce, who's been very average all year, was like the loudest voice at the Chiefs AFC title party post game, like I was like, oh, I don't. Like last year, like 2 years ago, yeah. We got to fight for the right to party. Yes,
right.
Okay.
He was Gronk.
This year, and he also went to a much more obscure song, which was Casey and the Sunshine Band, and it was like, all right, you're the drunk guy at the party that nobody wants to be at the party. Jason Kelce did it right today. Also have to say, Howie Roseman was quoted as saying, with a bloody forehead from getting hit in the head with a beer while holding the Lombardi Trophy, Roseman yells, "I bleed for this city." Do I have to be the fun police on a Friday? I really don't want to be this.
Holy cannoli!
You know me. I am team. As long as you're not hurting anyone, have as much fun as you can.
Right.
Life goes so fast. Every championship party just feels a touch too decadent. Like As a fan.
What, they're overdressed?
No, it just feels like, and I get it, it's an out, like you only win, you might only ever win one title in your career, celebrate to the high hilt. But like when players are blatantly knocked down, fall down drunk, and it's everybody, I'm like, I don't know as a fan I need to see this. Like, and again, I enjoyed JR, who was on a different planet. All right.
Both literally and figuratively.
Like he was, oh, I love shirtless JR. Channing Frye saying, we bleep excellence,
right.
Just completely hammered. I'm not saying it's not funny, but there is some point where I'm like, why would I watch 4 hours of this?
I mean, it's always good when the president calls to congratulate you on your championship and has to mention, please, for the love of everything holy, find a shirt for JR Smith.
Yeah. And by the way, we still haven't, nor David Njoku. But we're getting, by the time his contract's over, he'll wear a shirt.
By the way, might be the most on-brand Super Bowl radio row interview presentation of themselves ever. David Njoku walking around shirtless doing interviews, begging Myles Garrett to stay because they're oh so close to winning. I don't know what planet he's on that he believes that, but I don't know. Maybe he had a few before the interview.
Am I being a little too sour with this? Like these parties?
No, I don't feel like you're the fun police. I mean, there should be some sort of, I think, standard, some decorum.
Like I am Mr.
Spray
Drunk in Public.
Pop the champagne bottle, shake them up, and spray the fans as you're rolling by. That's what you do.
I just feel like the more outsized the party is for the players and the team, I think the less relatable it feels as somebody enjoying the championship.
Well, I don't know.
The Cavs title, to me, walked the line between those two things. And which, by the way, there were some parts of that parade that sucked. Like trying to move from here down by the where it was actually being held.
Like they couldn't get it through the crowd.
Yeah. Well, and also, if you were in the crowd, you almost couldn't get through the crowd. So, like, there are some parts of this that are just naturally arduous, and I understand that. I continue to cycle back to this idea of the drunker and more out of control they are, and the fans, they're pretty sober. They're like, they're not, it's not like a Motley Crue concert in the stands. It just feels like, are we there to see you party? Because that feels a little too voyeuristic for me. I know that's all we are now. Like,
right.
Like my kids are like, oh, I'm watching somebody play with toys on YouTube. I'm like, that used to get you on a watch list.
Right.
Right? Like now it's like, ah.
Guys are on the floats and their phones are out and they're filming everything,
yeah,
right?
Ken and Barbie, they've got 5 billion YouTube followers. Well, okay, cool. That's awesome. That's not weird at all. Oh, and they're using kids' voices. Yeah, this doesn't make me feel awful for society. So I already understand that there's an element of voyeurism that we've subscribed to that especially younger generations have that I just don't have.
The GM getting hit with a beer can is objectively hilarious.
But no, it's funny.
Let's be honest.
It's funny, but there's a little Spinal Tap to this of like Howie Roseman saying, I bleed for this city. Like, I'm pretty sure, listen, I haven't heard the audio. I'm pretty sure it's tongue in cheek. Yeah. All right, I don't think Howie is being literal.
I don't know.
In that.
He's got a dent in his forehead based on the picture that was on TMZ.
But I mean, I don't. I just feel like we've reached a point of decadence.
Like you can see where the can impacted.
Seen the pictures. I just haven't heard the context. Howie's supposed to be very, very intelligent. So I'm assuming there's a little bit. He's being a little caustic when I bleed for the city. But yeah, it just feels a little. I don't know.
Could you imagine Andrew Berry being up there after a Browns Super Bowl parade just like completely hammered?
No, nor Kevin Stefanski.
Me neither.
Actually, that should be... I'm glad you said this because now I'm going to formulate an opinion that I'm totally just pulling out of thin air here. But it's totally valid. So don't let that throw you off the scent here. I think every owner, when hiring somebody, should ask themselves, how do I think they would look at a Super Bowl party? Because there's no way you stand, like Andrew and Kevin are very nice guys, very intelligent.
I just don't know.
No way you want to be adjacent to them at a Super Bowl party.
Yeah, I just don't know that I want to listen to Kevin Stefanski's Super Bowl victory speech at a parade.
Yeah, I
don't want to listen to his post-game speech.
Yeah, but I think, but it's heavily edited by the Brown social media team, so it's totally, it's right on par with what you get there. I just feel like a curmudgeon. That just kind of looks...
I continue to go back to
a little bit of... This is a little bit Spinal Tap.
You know what this is?
What's that?
I think it's the father... You got the dad thing going right now.
I don't know. I'm a pretty irresponsible human being.
You kind of like, you know, these kids getting a little out of hand at the parade. Need to rein it in a little bit.
I'm not trying to get them Werther's original here.
I don't know. I kind of feel like you're being a little fun police here.
So we like Saquon Barkley pulling the Eagle staff member, the ball boy, out of the crowd.
Great.
That's awesome.
Awesome, yes.
That's awesome. Everyone being so drunk that nobody can form a sentence without shouting 17 F-bombs into the crowd.
Not awesome.
It's cool if like 10% of you do it. It might be cool if like 30% of you do it. But does everybody need to be...
LeBron?
Well, no, I think LeBron was sober enough because he got off everything he wanted to say in that party. Right? Channing.
He did empty the clip.
Channing was blasted to the moon. All right? But again, like, Dan and Griff were sober.
Right.
Like, sober adjacent.
Sober
all right?
Adjacent.
They were sober enough that I wasn't like, wow, you are blotto right now. Just feel like you're giving me nothing back because I feel like I just feel like I'm an old man in an island
I do feel like that your fatherly instincts are kicking in right now.
Oh no,
but you do make a valid
daddy's
point.
Back.
Back again. I do feel like that there's a time and a place and ever since LeBron did that at the Cavs parade. Like, it's just become a thing. It almost feels like a contest. Who can drop the most F-bombs in their celebratory speech? Whether it's, you know, the Dodgers parade celebrating the World Series or, you know, NBA championship parade. I just kind of feel like that's the thing now. The guys are just, you know,
Everybody being wasted directly after winning the NBA title makes sense to me. The same level of wasted 4 days later feels like, you know, you can't come up for air. As a man who's not known to, like, reel in my own excesses,
well, in case
you
can. If you're wondering where those truckloads of beer are going, well, maybe we now know what is happening to them.
Now that I've ruined all fun on a fun Friday, how easy is a Myles Garrett trade from the Browns side of things? Joel Corey, former NFL agent, now with CBS Sports, tells us that in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.